Our Father, we thank you that we can read your word and pray for understanding and wisdom to fathom it at a little deeper level. We pray for your blessings as we take time to read Revelation 17 yet again. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we take up Revelation chapter 17 once again. And sometimes you need to go back to the text again and again. And so we have John marveling, right? So we don't know why John marveled, but he marveled. And so we read, right? And so in verse 6, we read, "And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." The idea of marveling is to the idea of being surprised, being idea of being astonished, you know, a lot of people don't, I mean, you get caught up with a feeling and say, wow, what is this? And he's almost impressed with this thing here. And a lot of people tend to be impressed with a lot of things. We are impressed when a person has status. We are impressed when a person has power. In today's modern world, we're impressed when the person is a billionaire. We sort of, wow, that's impressive. And then they ask, how big is your empire? And then the bigger it is, the more we marvel. You know, that seems to be a big problem. And, you know, the richer the person is, the bigger the eyes. And, you know, the greater the power, that's what it is. And so John marveled. Well, the angels knew what he was feeling and asked him, why do you marvel? I mean, seriously, why are you so impressed? You know, when a person is saying, oh, this person came from university, we were impressed. Where do you come from? Never heard of it. Oh, we are crestfallen. You know, you have to belong to a certain faculty. You have to be a certain tier. You happen to have somebody, you got to be know somebody or other, then it would be very, very special. Otherwise, no. So, unfortunately, this was a reality, right? So, John marveled, and the angel said, I mean, this John is very honest about the whole thing. You know, why do you marvel? He said, all right, I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, right? Now, this is important. Why I have my doubts that this is the old position where they say this is the harlot church, is the Roman Catholic Church. I have my doubts seriously because if you look at this woman, she has influence, she has power, she has wealth, she has outreach to all kinds of facilities and people and all that. Right now, in this present day, the Roman Catholic Church has none of this. It has the past. That's it. The present is not what you think it is. It's really fighting for survival. And so, you know, this is unfortunately a position that has been taken since the days of the reformers until today. And so it's literally almost burned into our head. Every time we read Revelation 17, you find commentaries and they will straight away identify, this is the harlot church, this is the Roman Catholic Church, and so on and so forth. And I have serious doubts about these things here, right? So then we're going to take a look at these things here, and we need to look at this very, very carefully, right? So these are the seven heads and the ten horns. And the beast you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. Those who dwell on the earth will marvel. I mean, why are you marveling that people will finally die? I mean, what are we marveling about? Right? All those billions that they have, it will come to nothing one day. All the grandeur, all the whatever you want to call it, what will happen at the end of the day when death comes? Nothing. How does a rich man die? Like a poor man. How does a wise man die? like a fool. Same. He just dies, no matter how you look at it. All right, so this is something that we need to, when Steve Jobs, he was one very, very arrogant person. He was working with Apple. And towards the end, when he died, this is what he said. If I knew that at the end of my life, all I need is my bed, I wouldn't have wasted my time. At the end of it all, we have to ask ourselves, where is it? So the angel had to burst the balloon a little bit, right? Sometimes balloon slowly release, or you can burst suddenly. So we ask him, why? You look at a beast. What was he impressed about? First, the beast that carries her. Look at it. How come the beast will carry this woman? Well, that seems to be a marvel. And then this beast has 7 heads and 10 horns. This is the description of the beast, and not the woman, you know. Woman with 7 heads, 1 head is already bad enough. 7 heads will be a real headache. So it has to do with the beast. 7 heads, 10 horns. Now you need to understand how that works, right? So when we look at where the head is, and we begin to realize that this person is going to be one super smart person. 7 heads. If one person can think a lot, can do a lot, imagine 7 of them. So that's the idea. That's why he's so marvelous. This guy is really, really brilliant. So this is very important. I read one phrase that said, how does a brilliant man put on his pants? Still the same. One pen at a time, one leg at a time. He's not going to be able to jump into it. He hasn't discovered how to do it yet. Why are we so impressed with it? 7 heads and 10 horns. A horn is always a symbol of power, right? So a rhino has 1 horn and he has tremendous power. Now imagine 10. Oh, this would be a monster indeed. This would be a beast. And the whole world is agog with power. So when we see a ship destroyed, boom, burst into flames, everybody is agog. Wow. See, we are all just trying to display power. These are our new warheads. These are our new vehicles. These are our new whatever you want to call it. And we got many of them, and so on and so forth. Well, everybody is impressed. This is how we want to show impress. This is very important. On the other hand, there are countries that can only show bullock carts, can show people carrying plowshares and things like that. And then we look at them and that's nothing. You know, I mean, that's how it works. Unfortunately, we will always try to display wealth and power and intelligence and so on. All right? So we can look at these things here. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, we're going to take a little bit of time to ponder these words because they are not easy words to understand. But let's take a look first and foremost, right? So this is important for us to understand this very carefully. The recall is absolutely important. 17:1-6. First and foremost, okay, this is the judgment on the great harlot. Now, this is absolutely important. First and foremost, we see this as a great harlot. Remember, no matter how powerful, no matter how so-called beautiful the person may be, at the end of it all, this person is nothing more than a harlot. You can be a great harlot, you can be the most beautiful harlot, it's still a harlot, that's it. At the end of it all. So why are we so impressed? Why do we marvel at things like that? Right? And so if you look at all those people who were once upon a time said to be the 10 most beautiful people on the earth and all that. Have you seen photographs of them years later? I've seen them that everyone is an old hag, sorry to say. apologies to you being blunt this morning. But why are we so impressed with the here and now and forget what it's all about at the end of life? Right? Where would we be at the end of our life rather than to look at where we are right now? Right? So this is a little reminder to us. I will show you not only the great harlot, and this is the judgment that will come. Now that is the key word. This is the judgment that will come upon her. Right? And this is absolutely important to go back to 17:1-6 all the time. Right? So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Right? And it was, what was the scarlet beast? Why are we so impressed? Full of names of blasphemy. Well, this is a person who uses all kinds of bad words all the time. Right? Every other word, expletive. Every other word. Why are we impressed with people who use expletives like that? Seriously. Right? This is called blasphemy. Right? Yes, he has seven horns, seven heads and 10 horns. So what? Don't look at the external. Look at what the beast is like. This beast is a foul-mouthed creature. That's it. So when you look at a person as a foul-mouthed creature, why are we impressed with this person? We shouldn't be. So John was told, don't marvel at things like that. Right? So here is a woman arrayed in purple and scarlet. Wow, we say, wow, so beautiful, so finely dressed and all that. And this week I discovered that some shoes, one pair of shoes you can buy a condo unit. I was looking and saying, are you serious? How much can a pair of shoes cost? $2 million. What on earth? You make them for somebody. It was all commissioned. But are you going to wear them? No. You just commission them. You look at it. That's it. So there we go. In those days, it would be purple and scarlet. Right? And then adorned with gold, right? So we have gold. Gold is in thing now. Yeah? So everything is just amazing. This for the old folks. Now old folks go and sell those things here. Well, it is going to make a lot of money. And then precious stones and pearls. I mean, it's just dripping with this thing. Which part of it is not adorned? And you look at, wow. So when you look at a person, what do you see? Marvel. I don't. When I look at a person like this, you know what I see? It's a Christmas tree. That's it. I mean, this is something that we all have to look at. I tell you an incident. It's not part of Revelation 17. But this just to remind me of these things here. I used to take bus long ago before I took up driving. And I was coming to church one day, and this bus was there. And then this person came up to the bus. Now, for all wants and purposes, it's a young man. But the way he dresses, it would appear that he's not. Right? He had a hard time, so he walked up very daintily. Now, guys don't, they just walk up. Nobody walks daintily, but he did. And so there he is, dangling big cross at the ear, and dripping with it. You know, you cannot walk straight. You must hold the hand in a certain way and walk very, very daintily. Now, the bus driver was very irritated. First, he took a long time to come up. And then the bus was fairly empty, and he took a long time to choose his seats. Now, the bus driver was actually quite nasty. So he started his car. The poor fellow, he lost his balance. And the bus driver said, oops, and he stopped. And he went forward. This poor guy nearly fell down. And I looked, the whole bus, everybody was, not nice to laugh. But it was just there, and so sometimes then you marvel at things like that. That is sort of always comes to my mind. Don't marvel at things like that, because there's nothing to marvel about. What is this person? I mean, this is something that you want to appreciate. So don't marvel at the wrong things. Excuse me, sorry. So this is something that you... So when the person is dressed like that, gold and precious stones, it might be a song called A Rhinestone Cowboy. Well, there we go. And that's what is it. What we all look, want to look nice. But at the end of it all, she is still a harlot. At the end of it all, there will be judgment. So what is there to marvel about? You see, but John was impressed because of her connections. Right? Her connections with the beast. Right? This is very important. 7 heads, 10 horns. Wow, you know a lot of people. Some people like to name drop. They like to, you know, I know so and so. Do you know? And I know. Do you know this and that? No. Whom do you know? I don't know anybody. It's very important. Oh, you're nothing. But that's how the world works. We all like to be seen with who's who. We all like to know, you know, whom you know is not what you know. How much wealth you have, what kind of car you have, your drive, where the street you are. Why are all these things important? We marvel. That's a really sad reality, but that's what we are looking at. All right? And so we are to remember nothing. So this is a name written on her forehead. Mystery. Babylon the Great. The mother of harlots. Imagine emblazoned on your head. Oh, it's a really sad reality of it all. By the way, in those days, people, unfortunately, they actually do this. If you are a prisoner or you belong to, you know, to somebody, to a king or whatever, and they want to tell you, they want to know that you are somebody, they actually brand you. The fleur-de-lis, for example, that they use, you know, in those days in France. You want to know a person who is not a good reputation, the fleur-de-lis that we all look at all the time, and you print on the arm of the person, the lady will be very, very well covered. The moment that is covered, what she is, straight away, people's opinions will change. This is a scarlet woman. See, that's how it is. So why was John impressed? But he was. And forgets to see behind all of these things here. Notice the inscription. The inscription would be very clear. Right? Mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. There is no mention of gold or precious stones or pearls. Nothing. In God's judgment, these things don't matter. What is it that really, really matters to God is to look at these things here. So, well, again here, we recall about the beast. The beast that you saw and was not, it is, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit. And this is absolutely important for us to take a look at. By the way, it's 17:8, not 178. Otherwise, you got a very long book to read. Chapter 178. You know, anyway, just a little... typos here and there. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend up to the bottom. All right. So this is important for us to ask ourselves, what is it? So when you take a look at Revelation 13, now you've got to go back. Much of these chapters now, you almost have to do a lot of cross-referencing up and down in order to match things. Right? So we go back to 13. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea. This is a sea beast. Right? 7 heads, 10 horns. There we go. That's the same identification. So what we read in 17 is actually what we read in 13. If you remember anything about 13. I'm not holding my breath that we actually remember anything about 13. But there we go. So that's your identification. And on his hand, the 10 crowns, and his head, a blasphemous name. So we are seeing here a picture of what this beast is of. And the beast which I saw was one like a leopard. feet like the feet of a bear, mouth like the mouth of a lion. And then the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. What lies behind all this authority? The great dragon. So why are we impressed? Why are we marveling at the power of the evil one? The best thing to do, stop being impressed by things like that. Why should we be impressed? Why can't we be impressed with other little things here along the way? And that is something we want to look at. So I saw one of his heads, okay, as if it mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the people and the world marveled and followed the beast. You know, I was shot. I survived. Wow, the world is marveling. This must be the Savior. This must be a special man of God. Are you serious? See, Lord, everyone is impressed with all these little things. And we don't realize it. At the end of it all, they worship the dragon who gave authority. That is something you need to look at very, very carefully. What are we looking at? Right? At the end of it all, you are going to end up worshiping the dragon who gave authority to the beast. So whether it is a woman or the beast, you always go back to the original part of it. And the original part of it is the dragon. And that's what we are looking at. And so they worship and they say, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And we are looking at now a war department. We're looking at all these harbingers coming up. And the world is going on to, seriously, all the GDP of all the people, each one 5% put in together. You know how much firepower we can generate. The earth can be destroyed by its own weapon 17 times over. It was given the situation right now. And everybody is impressed. The more powerful it will be, the better it will be. Now, non-sonic, but we're hypersonic, cannot be detected by anything. Where do we stop? We can't, we won't. And we will always be there creating more and more of these things here. Speaking great things and blasphemies. And he has authority to continue for 42 months. Right? And he opened his mouth. How does he speak? Against God, blaspheme. To blaspheme the Lord's name. To blaspheme his tabernacle. And those who dwell in heaven. Now, he's going to make war with the saints. And to overcome them. Authority was given over him to every tribe, tongue, nation. We are looking at a world war. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life. This is Revelation 13. What we see in Revelation 13 is actually right now a repeat, 17. Right? So when you look at this repeat here, then we ask ourselves, John, why did you marvel? You've forgotten. The judgment will come one day. Don't marvel at things like that. And that's what we are looking at this point of time here. Right? So now we go back to 17 and 9 to 11. Here is the mind which has wisdom. All right? So John is going to have his mind given wisdom. His mind is going to be opened further so that he can understand what it is. The seven heads are seven mountains. Now, this is where many people make the mistake here. And they say, well, Rome sits on seven hills. Correct. But this is not a hill word. This is a mountain word. So to associate this with hill equals mountain. Therefore, Rome, by default, Roman Catholic Church. It's a total misreading of the text. Because that's not what it is. So when you take a look at all of these things here, so you cannot, unfortunately, this has been there for hundreds of years. And this is kind of unfortunate, but we need to ask ourselves what this is all about. Right? So seven heads, and we have seven mountains. The word is mountain, meaning to symbolize great power. And Rome may have power for a while, but let's take a look what it is. So these are the seven kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, the other 2 has not yet come. When he comes, he must continue for a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the 8th. To the 7th and the 8th, and is of the 7 and is going to perdition. So don't worry about the 8. Look at the 7 and you will see the 8. The question is, what is this all about? Now, this is the difficulty of prophecy. Right? Now, here is an alternative to the Roman blaming the Roman Catholic Church. Right? So what are the 7 things that we're looking at? Instead of 7 hills, we have 7 mountains. So if you want to look at history properly, remember, this is prophecy. If it is a Roman Catholic Church, this is past. But this is yet future. Right? So since it's yet future, it cannot be this as we understand it. Unfortunately, for hundreds of years, everybody has been copying everybody else, quoting everybody else, and we don't know how to think afresh. Well, let's try. Right? Let's try to look at this. The 7 heads are 7 mountains. And they are 7 kings. Well, let's take a look. 5 have fallen. Now let's look at what is, as we read in the scriptures. Right? Who are these 7 things here? 1, the first one in the early days. Read the book of Exodus. In fact, Genesis. If there is a famine, what is that one nation, one country that will feed all the rest of the world? Egypt. The Pharaoh's power at that point of time is not just Egypt, it's whole of the Middle East. It's Egypt. All the way through. And it's not only Egypt, but Africa as well. It actually had outreaches to the biggest power then at that point of time of a strong geopolitical sense is actually Egypt. Right? Rather than to look at it as a church, at 7 hills equals the 7 hills of Rome, they're not. Second, after Egypt, the biggest thing after that, after Egypt was broken, there was nothing until Assyria came up. Right? And we read, the Lord raised up Assyria, and this is what happened. And it was then the known power. Okay? So then we have, after the Assyrians, we have the Babylonians. Now, you need to know a little bit of world history in order to understand this. And then here, after that, came the Medo-Persians. All these things are in the book of Daniel as well. Right? And then we take a look at this very carefully. And after the Medo-Persian Empire, you have the Greeks, Alexander the Great, for a short while. And then we read Rome, one is. One is, therefore, refers to Rome. But if you were to look at one is, and referring to the Scarlet Woman, at this point of time, the Roman Catholic Church hasn't even existed. So therefore, it cannot be the past. Right? You see the problem here of time collapse? At that point of time, there wasn't the Roman Catholic Church actually began in the 5th century, not the 1st century. The 1st century church is the Apostolic Church. In the 5th century, Roman Catholicism arose with great power. But what about the 400 years? This was written as the 1st century. So to go back, we want to look at it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is. And 1 is to come. Now, that one is a big question. What? Who? I don't have the answers. A lot of different people. Mostly people are inclined towards the European Union. Right? But how true is this? One is to come. Italy is virtually broke. France is going that way. Right? So you have Brussels, you have Luxembourg, you have a few richer ones there. But by and large, this, the power is to come, is not there. But a lot of people tell you this is the European Union. The moment you have 10 of them together, that it will come. A lot of pastors in Singapore were caught up with them. One of them I know personally, and he said, oh, you know, when the 10th nation comes in, this is going to be fulfilled. You know what? The person has died already, and there are now 30 people. So how does that fulfill? You see, the danger is we want to place with certainty that which is purposely not given certainty. So best don't. Right? So when we look at what is and what is to come, then I don't know, you also don't know. We just wait until the Lord reveals who is. But we know what it is like. This will be a world-rich empire. This is not going to be a small-time thing. This person will have, this empire will reach the world. Right? Is Europe doing that? Not really. Of course, nobody wants to think that it could be India or China, because you combine the two of them together, you have the major part of the world's population. But it's not that kind of size in terms of small ones, you know, a lot of people, minions all over the place. Now, we're talking about power, majesty, wealth, and clouds, and war, and things like that, to a very, very great degree, that this is something to think about very carefully. So the beast, the eighth one, is the one that is going to come, right? So what is it? So I raise this question. Many people speak of a revived Roman Empire. Now, if you're looking at it easily, don't hold your breath. It easily cannot even pay its debts. It is so heavily laden with debt right now. So which one? We don't know. Right? But what you are seeing right now in the world today is a situation where people, right now the world is marveling at people, all those few names of people who are super rich. They are billionaires and they are able to spend all kinds of money for all kinds of whatever they want to do. And they can get away with it, you know, with all the things that they want to do. For the moment, yes. How long more? We don't know. And yet, we are all very impressed. Oh, we know this person is this, person is that. We are all so impressed with all kinds of things like that. The real word to us is stop. Why are you marveling? This is already known to God. Is God impressed? No. What is God's plan for these people? They will all be judged one day. So when you stand before God one day judged, what are you going to do then? Now that becomes a very big problem, right? So this is something that we need to look at very carefully. How do we identify? The answer is we can't. We really cannot. I wish we can identify and then we pinpoint. The moment you try to identify, you end up with error. Just as you cannot identify when the Lord Jesus is going to come back. You cannot identify the day, you cannot find the year. Some people say, well, we cannot know the day, but we can roughly know the year. See, come on, what kind of reading, Bible reading is there? Right? Well, then unfortunately, this is our approach. So can I encourage you to look at all these things here? One, stop being impressed by people who are super wealthy. Unfortunately, some people will only hobnob with people who are somebody. And if you don't know anybody, that's too bad. Because they will tell you that's what makes the world go around. Well, you go around long enough, you get giddy. You think about it. What do you have? Seriously, why can't we stay focused on what we have? And this is going to be important. Right? So this mystery is revealed. But this is a mystery that is revealed only up to a point. And the Lord refused to look at it. But we do know that this is going to be a harlot. Right? This is basically a bad person, a false person. This person is just going to be, what is it? Now, we don't know. When I use the word person, I'm not looking at a singular human being person. I'm looking, it could be a whole system. Right? So when we look at this thing here, it becomes a very, very great challenge. How do we understand any of these things here? And it will be a very great thing. So I tend to go towards these seven empires in the world. Right? Because these are the one they are really powerful heads. And they are kings, as they in their own. But what is it that they all are very good at? Brutality, cruelty, exercise of power, They don't care how many people they kill. So when you look at these things, they'll say, well, you know, the reign of Queen Mary of Scots, she killed a good number of Protestants. Yes, she did. Do you know Queen Elizabeth then, Queen Elizabeth I, the Protestant one? She killed at least four times as more people than Mary of Scots did. But nobody mentioned that. Right? So when you read history properly, you begin to realize that, you know, you got to read the other side. And you begin to realize the Protestants are also guilty of a lot of bad things. Right? So this is very important for us to understand. So don't take sides based upon, I'm Protestant, therefore the other side is bad. That's not what we want to do. We just want to see what evil is. Evil is what it is, and that's how you understand it. Right? So, but when we take a look at all of these things, we begin to know, here's Egypt. What did Egypt do? And slave. See? Building of the tombs, building of the pyramids, and so on and so forth. You know how many people would have died to do all those things here? No special mechanism, just all hand movement. You can't imagine if that stone moves down, that whoever is there will be crushed. Try again, start again, and build. Right? You won't see anything, nowhere, nothing, nothing that will hold anything in place. No screws, nothing. That is kind of technology that nobody even understands. Right? So when the Egyptians mummify a person, only in recent years did some American doctors say that they have now learned how to actually take off the skin of a person's face like the Egyptians did. They are learning something that was in common practice thousands of years ago. How wonderful is that? Now, those are the things we're looking at. But Egypt had power. And Egypt will destroy anybody, everybody, drown all the babies. They will kill the little ones. They don't care. This to stay in power. That's what it is. So if we understand the dynasties of Egypt, there were many dynasties. It's not one continuous pharaoh. It's all kinds of people coming in, including outsiders coming in to reign over Egypt, because Egypt was then the great power. Huge a number of people died because of these people. Essentially, it's always someone who wants to be up there, wants to be king, wants to be pharaoh, wants to be whatever it is. And all of them, everyone, really bloodstained. And that is something we need to think about. So when you look at the Assyrians, please do not think that they just happened to conquer. They were brutal. I mean, as in brutal. When they want to slay people, they do. They skin people alive, literally. Right? They cut off heads and they put them on stakes, and then this is to tell them, this is what we will do to you. And they will go and burn whole cities. They all ring around them and kill them. They don't care how they do it. This was to spread terror. This is to show them, this is my power. You oppose me and you are going to regret it. This is what we're seeing today. Right? This is where everybody wants to do whatever they think. Well, I'm king, I'm the president, I'm the monarch, I'm the ruler, I'm whatever it is. Remember, one day we will all stand before God in judgment. Right? So this is a word that we need to look at very carefully. Now let's look at 17 very carefully and bring a little word of comfort to our hearts here. Right? Those who dwell on the earth, and they will marvel. Okay? Now watch this. Whose names are not written in the book of life. That one word of comfort is to talk about the book of life. To me, that is the most important thing to check. Is your name in the book of life? I tell you, that all the things on this earth will come to nothing. With every passing year, you begin to realize these things become less and less and less meaningful. Seriously, what is it? Right? So you nowadays people who are minimalists, they will tell you, go to your closet and look, that which you have not used for one whole year, you don't need that. start clearing. You'll be surprised how many trunk loads of stuff we can clear. Why? Why are we so caught up there? Everyone is a hoarder. Unfortunately, I've been to a home in Seletar Hills. Bethany first started, used to walk to every single home to invite people to come to church and everything else. So I came across this home. It's not a very large home. It's one of those still in a mean condition, still the original thing here. Grass overgrown, nobody bothers about the lawn out there. Other people will wish, wow, how nice to have a lawn. This one has grass all over down there. There could be snakes inside for all we know, but there we go, all overgrown. So I step in the house there, wow, the porch, the front part of it, covered with newspapers, right? I would think, imagine if you were to look at them, it may go back to Second World War time. They're all nicely packed. All nicely packed, and they all stacked, one stack after the other. And you know, whole household, all around, whole house stacked with old newspapers. And I was like, why? One, you're not going to read them. Two, you know, they're packed so tightly, if it falls on you, you might get a headache, you know. I mean, why? Obviously the person, but will not sell them, will not get rid of them, will just hoard. And every other corner was just there. I mean, I just... wow. Just step in and you're a bit nervous. You don't know what will come out. Right? But there are people who are like that. The answer is yes, we have all kinds of people. We all hoard, we all think that this life here is important. And I'll tell you what is really the important thing in life at the end of it all is your name in the book of life. That to me is the most important entry you're going to have. And it's important, right? So look at it and you have to ask yourself, what is it that will help you to be very sure of life? And because sooner or later, we all will come to the end. Right? And everybody will want to try to come to the end, only I just want to know whether my name is written in the book of life. It's a bit late already. We don't have time. What really matters, seriously? The scarlet beast? I mean, so the beast, scarlet woman? No. This strong beast, 7 heads, 10 horns? No. What is it? What are we looking at? You can have tremendous power, tremendous intelligence, tremendous everything else. At the end of it all, your name not there. Sorry, I can't find your name. Then what have we got? What matters? Seriously, what matters? When I read a book of Revelation, this comes up again and again. What really matters? And the answer is things which are eternal. We place so much emphasis on power, on money, on position, on wealth, on whom you know, what you know, and so on and so forth. And place so little credence to this little book of life of the Lamb. We have made the biggest mistake. I think this is very important for us to understand. Right? So one day there was a story told of a king before he passed on. He said to his wise men, I want you to go all over the world. 1 month, come and tell me. Show me who is the greatest fool in the whole nation, whole land of realm of mine. And so there he went. So all his wise men went out. This person, this one unwise, this one a fool, this one is fool. And finally, they all came back to him and they said, the one who came back to him with his report had to hold his breath just in case the king gets angry. He said, oh king, you are very sick right now. He said, yes, I know. Doctors tell you, you don't have very long to go. He said, yes, I know. Maybe next week you will die. So his wise men asked him, oh, your majesty, have you made preparation for the next life? And he said, no. When I die, I don't know where I'm going. I have not made any preparation. And so the man knew that he was putting everything at risk. He said, oh, king, The title of the greatest fool belongs to you. You are the greatest fool. You have not made preparation for the next life. What preparation have you made for the next life? Nothing. Well, think about these things here. It's not the pomp and the power. It's not the pomp and the glory. It's not the wealth and all the buzz that goes around it. You can enjoy all these things now, today. When you come to the last weeks of your life, what do you have? And the word is nothing. You only have to look at it and you realize you're not ready. To me, the best thing to do is to be ready. I want to be sure my name is written in the book of life. And that to me was the biggest and most important decision I ever made in my life. Not all the things I make. Now think about this. Okay? Well, let's pray before we go. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you'll help us to ponder your word very carefully and to be sure that we have our names written in the book of life. Help us to be very sure what it means for us to be assured that we will have life beyond this earth. Help us to pursue this with all our hearts. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.